you be kind enough to set your goods down for just a minute? If you'll put your tablet down, put your Bible in a safe place, and I need you to touch somebody's hand. I need the strength of a whole house. You'll just touch somebody's hand. Thank you. Pray with the pastor. God, our Father, we thank you right now that our pastor is about to speak to us from the book of life. God, give him strength and make him bold and make him, Lord, surround us with truth. God, put me in the place that I'll be receptive, not resistant. God, earlier today he asked us to find somebody, a real good somebody, to make a vow with us. We'll surround ourselves with truth. I'm holding somebody's hand now, Lord. I didn't take the time to do a background check on them. I didn't screen them. I just heard my pastor say, grab somebody's hand. So I'm going to, by faith, declare that I'm holding a good hand. And we need a word from you. So me and my hand-holding partner here are going to touch and agree that the pastor needs to bring a word. And it needs to be an end time, right now word. He don't need to coax me. He don't need to coddle me. He needs to talk to me with a word. And God, make me receptive, not resistant. Don't let me squirm, Lord, too much that I lose my focus. But Lord, use my pastor for me and for my family, for my son, my daughter, my mama, my daddy. God, let somebody be saved today. It's too late to be playing church. And I don't know how much time I got left. And so, God, I've come today that I'll not waste another moment. I didn't end up in Brookville by accident. It's got to be part of my assignment to keep me in proper alignment. So, God, use him today. And use me to help him, encourage him, and God to be better. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy. Forgive my neighbor, Lord, my hand-holding buddy. Cleanse his house and his heart. Straighten up his head. And God, bring us together as one. For when we are all together on one accord, what a marvelous church we're going to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Grab your tablets again now. Grab your smartphones, your devices. Stand on your feet. Thank you. Some of you jumped up like rabbits. You knew what was coming. It's not going to be unfamiliar, and it's not going to take me long, but I need all my time. So I robbed the choir one song, so they don't mind. It falls under that one default answer. I'm the pastor. Amen. I promised you a couple of weeks ago that I'd come back and finish what I started. And so in Genesis chapter 28, thank you, Reverend Uriel, for preaching to him last week. And I appreciate you. I listened to it on the podcast, and I thank you. And I want to finish what I started. Genesis 28, and I'm just going to read what I said was going to be my setup verse, and that was in verse 21, and it was the closing offering of verse 21. Jacob declared, I will make the Lord my God. Amen. You may be seated. I need my time. I asked the question 2 weeks ago, when will God become your God? And I want to finish my argument right there. Amen. Young Mr. Pennell, I don't need you to wave at me this time. you waved me off last time, and I got plenty of time this time. I'm going to be all right. Again, we have to go out this afternoon, but that's not no intention to rob us of what our house needs. Amen. And so it is. I got to a place the last time, and I marked it, so I know where I need to go, but I need to get you set up again. Is that all right? I thought about it a little bit more after I went to my retirement place, and one of the things that I really cannot neglect to say to you in this process of choosing, it is personal. That's part of the reason why I felt it necessary to get you to hold somebody's hand and pray with me, because it's personal. This is not about Brookville Church or any other church that we might have become affiliated with in the course of our life. Sometimes it is evident that many of us have been members, if you will, of other churches. And I'll tell you now, you can change churches, but you better not change gods. You can visit churches, but you better stay with God. It's personal, and what's personal ought to be attended to as a matter that's personal. And what I mean to say by that is, and again, this was a thought that hit me, don't let nobody turn you around. Don't let nobody turn you around from walking with God and serving God and giving to God. And Jacob makes it clear that his personal choice was his choice. I am sure that his father at some time had recommended God highly. I'm sure that when they sat around the family, they talked about their grandfather and they talked about his relationship with God and how they had become a family of God. That's legacy life. And you really ought to do that. Moses reminds us in the book of Deuteronomy that these are the kind of things we ought to talk about when we come in and we go out. You know, you ought not live in the house with people you can't talk to. Amen. You ought not just be passing each other in the hallways. And you know, we don't sit at the dinner table much anymore. We eat in our rooms or wherever we eat at. But I'm sure that Abraham and Isaac had talked to him about God, and so it is. There was a properly laid foundation for him to come to this factual conclusion. I don't want you to miss that, because parents, you cannot bless your children with material things and not bless them intentionally with spiritual things. As I said to you the other week, you know, Jacob proved that you've got to siphon something off that it becomes your own. And so it is that you need to really look at your families. You cannot allow yourself to attend your children to extracurricular activities and miss the ecclesiastical activities. They need God. The PlayStation is fine. The cleats are fine. The other things, the flute and the instruments and whatever, the tutus and all that, that's fine, but they need God. And so it is, I'm going to hurry along. I need you to know that it's personal. And if it don't mean nothing to you, it ain't going to never mean nothing to nobody else. And so it is that he proves us. And so the question again, as I left you last week, a couple of weeks ago, I put it to you and I ask you, what else does God have to do? What else does God have to do for you to let God be your God? God has already done enough. No, amen. Come right there. God has already done enough. And then too many of us are sitting in the place of our hesitancy as if God's got to do one more thing to finally seal the deal. No, God has already done enough. And because God has already done enough, then you ought to already have made your decision. The influence that often come to us, as I said last week before last, there are too many of us that have allowed outside influence to mess up our faith. We let people come in
and brag and boast to us that they don't go to church and they don't tithe and they don't serve and they don't put up with that kind of foolishness. I don't cotton to all that. They don't take all that. And we sit around and we're foolish enough to start considering that foolishness. But Asaph talked to us about it and told us, don't you look at other folk. You keep your eyes on God. You're sitting around listening to folk who tell you about being part-time lovers with God and being part-time influenced by God and tell you that they're doing all right. They're not doing all right. They're doing it wrong. You can't let folk get in your head like that. And so it is, he's already done things. And the truth of the matter is, they were right when they said if it had not been for the Lord. And so he's already done this, that, and the other. Nudge your neighbor and say, I know that's right. God has already done this, that, and the other. God has already proved himself and time and time again. And the fact of the matter is, I've got my own testimony. I can tell you that the reason I know God has already done this, that, and the other, because you're sitting in this house. Yeah, and listen, let me tell you something. How you sit in this house has a lot to do with how he serves you in your house. What are you saying? I'm saying that everything God done got you here. God gave you clothes to wear, car to drive. God has already served you well in his house. So how can you sit in his house and not serve him back? How do you sit around and wait on a God who's already done everything and we got to pump you up and stir you and say all the right things before you can at least give a hand wave of acknowledgement that the Lord is good and greatly to be praised? I've said it before that based on opposition, prayer, and praise, there ought to be something profound in the house of God. They ought to hear our noise all over this place. And I'll press my case because God has already done enough. And so it is, he reminds us, he says, well, let's hurry along here. He says, I told you that I was going to bless you with a little run in there about this high wheel thing, because that's what God says. Look at verse 15, if you will, and y'all know you don't have your Bible open still and your smartphone is already gone to Twitter and text mode, but God said, listen, I need you to understand that what's more, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm telling you now, God is not saying I might come alongside. God is not saying I'll see you every now and then. God said, listen, you need to understand that I'm with you. Ain't nobody going to hurt you. Ain't nobody going to do nothing to you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, listen, what you don't see can get you. Yeah, you may not see him, but he's with me. Yeah, he's with me because he promised that he would be with me. And then he says, I will protect you. Amen. I got your back. Not only your back, but your front, your side. I got the top and the bottom. Tell your neighbor, I know what all inclusive means. Yeah. God said, I'll protect you. He said, and listen, watch this now. This is what I love, Dr. Dixon. He said, I'll protect you wherever you go. Amen. And some of us sitting up in this room right now ought to just wave our hand because it was some places we know other folk didn't know it was, but God protected us. It was some things we got involved in that we can't tell nobody, but God protected us. There were some things that we did and some names we wrote on a paper that were not our names and that was not our address, but God said that wherever you are, I'm going to protect you. And you know and I know that you never would have got back from where you went if God had not protected you. You would have never made it home if God had not protected you. And it wasn't because you were in church. It wasn't because you were doing ministry. It was that God made you a promise that I will protect you. No, it ain't because you were fleet of foot. It ain't because you left just in time. God protected you. Because there's a greater purpose in your life. And then he said this. He said, I'll bring you back. Yeah, you talking about a comeback. God said, I'll bring you back. Amen. And nobody in this room does not have that testimony that God brought you back. Amen. He brought you back. Why? Because he said, I'll bring you back. And he said, I won't leave you. There's a shout that goes right there. God won't leave you. No, y'all didn't hear me. I said, God won't leave you. No, y'all still didn't hear me. I said that God won't leave you. So I'm not going to leave you. You may not attend to me. You may not worship me. You may not praise me. You don't pray like you ought to. You don't come like you ought to. But I'm not going to leave you. Songwriter said, if my mother and father forsake me, he wasn't going to leave me. My friends turned on me, but he's not going to leave me. I'm not as popular as I used to be. He's not going to leave me. I don't get invited to the A-list parties no more, but God not going to leave me. Said, and then you've got a mission, but I've got a mission. Because he said, I promised you that I'll finish everything that I started. Paul comes along and reminds us that he'd begun a great work in you. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, you really got it going on. God started something in you, and you sitting around here in this great opportunistic time and acting as if there is nothing going on in your life. He said, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to complete it. He said, and not some of the stuff, but watch this, Lady D. He said, I'm going to finish giving you everything I promise. Tell your neighbor, you can't die till every promise is finished. So stop all that whining. Stop all that complaining. You ain't only one without a job. You ain't only one feeling like you're feeling. Everybody get in some kind of way. Everybody get in their feeling. Everybody has a day that's off a little bit. But God said, until I finish everything I promise you. And you would rather know the promises so that you can have your praise in lieu of the time of your promise. I've learned to praise God not just for what I got, but I praise Him for what's on the way. I'm not gonna wait till my ship come in. I'm just going to go down by the water and praise Him anyhow. I don't see nothing on the horizon. I'm still going to praise Him. I ain't heard the horn blow. I'm still going to praise Him. Because God is not going to quit on me until every promise is delivered. I'm going to bless Him. I'm going to bless Him. He says, because everything that I said. Come here once again. Jeremiah said, I know the plans. They're for you. Sitting around with your attitude about what's absent in your life. You ain't missing nothing. You just ain't got it all yet. There's a shout go right there. You ain't missing nothing. You just don't have it yet. Listen, let me show you how to do proper inventory. Go back and look at your life from day zero. What are you saying, Pastor? You came with nothing. Look at what you got. And everything you got came in the form of yet. Walk right here talking about what you ain't got. Baby, you got more than enough. Amen. We would have turned the house upside down. We tripled a tithe in one day. Whole lot of us going to walk out of here robbing God today. Whole lot of us are going to leave here today and get unexpected blessings in the next 24 hours. Nudge your name, tell them, check back with me in 24. God going to give increase. Somebody's going to get a phone call with an offer. And you walk around here talking about what you ain't got. Truth of the matter is, God said, I'm going to do it. He said, I will. He said, I am. I will. I will. I am. I am. That's how God talks. It's the authority of God that brings my appreciation. I thank God in advance. An appropriate response is thank you, sir. When you consider what God has already prepositioned, what God has proposed, what God has put into the parlay, our answer is thank you, sir. I mentioned this. How can a people so blessed go flat on a God that's so faithful? Again, I've been standing up here a few minutes, Brother Pennell, and some folk ain't moved yet. Some folk ain't waved. Some folk ain't nodded. I mean, you can at least act like you hear what I'm saying. I am talking about God. You can at least not say, well, you know, he is right about that. I did come here naked and unclothed, and I know I've got more than I started with. Yeah, I guess the revenue is on to something. It is God who gave me a little something to give him a praise for. I mean, I may not have $100, but I had a dollar before. I mean, I may not have all that everybody else got, but I got what's mine. And I do remember that it is God that did put some food on my table. I do got a pair of shoes on my foot. I mean, I do got my sound mind. The revenue is right. Thank you, sir. Because in light of all that you have done, I couldn't have done none of it by myself. And how do you forget from one Sunday to the other? How do you shout and praise God on one Sunday and next Sunday sitting around here waiting like you ain't got nothing to praise God for? Listen, I'm telling you now, you should never go flat on a faithful God. It's always something praiseworthy. Mm-hmm. In fact, you should never be without a praise. Mm-hmm. Some folk looking at me still as if I'm strange. You can't be without a praise. Listen, in case you cannot praise him for what's happening, praise him for what didn't happen. I bet you can praise him for that. Praise him that you didn't get caught. Praise him that they didn't come get you. Praise him that you're not dead and sleeping in your grave. Praise him that the foolish things you did have not destroyed you to the point of restoration. You ought to be able to think of something to give God praise for, because there's always something to give God praise for. Sitting around because they didn't sing your song, you can't even wave your hand. There's always a reason to thank him. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody look at you, that's enough. I ain't have enough thank you. I got another thank you. Oh, there goes another thank you. Why? Because I just thought of something else. And every time I think of him, I got to tell him thank you. You didn't lift me up. You didn't restore me. You didn't save my children. You didn't save my marriage. You didn't give me my job. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's personal. Don't look at me that way. I ain't praising you anyhow. Thank you, Lord. So it is, he reminds us. God has already. I said, God has already. No, God has already. Pastor, you said it three times. God has already. Pastor, why you keep saying it? Because you fill in the blank. God has already. 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 You fill in the blank. God has already. And because God has already, I can't sit around here waiting on next Sunday. Because God has already. I can't sit around here waiting on a song. Because God has already. I can't wait till the close of the sermon. Because God has already. Cancer, we beat you. Arthritis, I got you. Rheumatism, I can handle you. High blood pressure, ain't no problem. God has already. And I am declaring, if it had not been for the law, God is already. So he said, listen, listen. Listen, watch this. Can I tell you what God has already done? God has already been with you. You ain't got to wait for God to get with you. God has already been with you. Pastor, how do you know? Grandma said, through it all. Listen, tell your neighbor, through it all. The highs and the lows, the reportable, the non-reportable, the secret, the covert, through it all, God never left me. God has already been within. He says, watch this. He's already watched over you along the journey. Look at your name and say, I started out a long time ago. I didn't just get into this. I didn't just wake up this morning and become a Christian. I started out alone. God, listen, I got some miles on this old Buick here. Listen, I didn't get in this shape just sitting around doing nothing. These tatters and thorns, this worn look, this fatigue, this tiredness, it's because I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I ain't got tired yet. Told him I'm going to watch you on your journey. And because I know you got to go somewhere, God is already. And can I tell you something? For those of you who've been confused and frustrated, you can't come back until you go out. Y'all missed the shout. You can't come back till you go out. He told me, he said, listen, I'm going to bring you back, but you got to first go out. Can I talk about my friend, Deacon Jed Clampett? Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from here. You got to go out before you can come back. You can't, if you don't leave Bug Tussle, you can't come back to Bug Tussle. God has. And so here it is. I'm just about there. What are the conditions for him becoming my God? Well, in all honesty, I do suppose, Elizabeth, there should be no conditions. But for the sake of closing the sermon that I opened, can I give you a few things? First of all, Jacob proves that God is reliable. Mm-hmm, yeah, God is reliable. The Hebrew writer says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Nudge your neighbor and say, that's reliable. I ain't got nobody in my life like that. Those of us who had some friends that flaked out on us. Those of us who had some family that proved fraudulent. Those of us that been around associate that proved to be, well, I can't say that in the church. But you know, he said, God has been reliable. Same God. This is why when you mess up, he don't drop you. This is why when you don't show up on Sunday, he don't drop you. This is why when you don't tithe, he don't drop you. Because he has a reputation that's reliable. I'm the same. He said, I can't change. Listen, I do suppose that when we get to heaven and we were all sitting around talking with Jesus at the table one day, he might say, you know, there were times when I wanted to change, but I couldn't change. He said, because I'm a man and I can't lie. I can't forfeit my promise because I'm dealing with fake people. They go together, FPFP, forfeit promise, fake people. He says, I'm reliable. Why? Because the next generation needs the same benefit of this generation. That's why the Bible says from generation to generation, God was going to bless us. Why? Because he is reliable. That's why we can say stuff to him like, Lord, you did it before. You can do it again. Yeah, we didn't get here with an unreliable. Then not only that, Dr. Dixon, is he reliable? But the second thing I needed to do is to understand that he's resourceful. He's resourceful beyond regulation. What are you saying? The earth is the Lord. Everything belongs to God. Here it is. Watch where they shout. They missed the shout, Melvin, so I'll have to tell them where the shout should have come. I said the earth is the Lord's and everything belongs to the Lord, including you. You missed it. He's resourceful beyond regulation. In other words, he tells Isaiah, he said, listen, my word shall go out from my mouth, and it will not come back to me without doing what I said it should do. Tell your neighbor, you need a word. If there's anything that's going to protect and bless your life, it's a word. You need God to say a little something to you. And watch this now, because when God said a little something, Thomas, he said it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Look at your name and say, I don't want no general blessing. I want mine to be specific, because I don't want to prosper in general terms. I want to prosper specific. I don't want to prosper in generalities. I want to prosper specific, because God said that the word I spoke to you is going to bless you. The word I spoke to lift you is going to lift you. The word I spoke to cover you is going to cover you. And when it bless you, lift you, and cover you, you better run back to me and say, God be the greater glory, because I took what you gave me and made something out of it. I didn't sit down and waste this time, because God, you're resourceful. God can take anything and make something. Look at your name and say, you proof of that. God took anything like you, Vicky Morrell, and made something. God took anything like you, Pat Price, and made something. God took anything like Louis Davis and made something. God took anything like Dee Dee and made something. You ought to look at your name and tell them, I'm proof positive that the word shall not come back void. They wrote me off. They counted me out. They said I wasn't good enough. But baby, look at me now. Look at another neighbor and tell him, not only can I whip, I can nay-nay. Yeah, I'm. He said, not only, watch this now, but then I'm going home now. He said, please understand that he's reliable, resourceful, but he's responsible and responsive. What are you saying? The Lord says, he said, listen, this word is mine. So whatever I say to you, you don't need people to validate it. Can I park right there? You need to stop waiting on folk to come along and validate ministry in your life. You need to stop waiting on folk to validate your service. Stop waiting on folk to tell you that, yeah, you're doing the right thing. God said, I'm responsible for what I said. You don't need to check with nobody. You don't need to have no vote. You don't need to set up no committee. God said, I said it, I sent it, and I sure can represent it. I'm responsible. He said, listen, that's why David stood up and proudly said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I'm responsible. He said, but I'm responsive. He said, I heard you. Can I get one more before I go? Moses, come here. Moses goes up to the place with God, the high place with God. And notice this now. God says to Moses, I like this because sometimes, Eric, you know, we don't want to tell on y'all like we ought to tell on y'all. God said to Moses, I've heard the grumblings of this people. Moses going, they're trying to put a good shine on the people. And Moses said, you know, maybe they're having a little party for you down there, Lord. Lord said, there ain't no party there. No, I know what's going on. Look at your name and say, he know what's going on. The Lord said, I've heard the grumblings of the Israelites. He said, well, tell them this. Since they're not happy, he said, I can make them happy. He said, tell them from here on going forward, at twilight they shall enjoy good meat. He said, and in the morning give me filled with bread. He said, tell them that I knows how to take care of my folk. He said, and then, watch this, and we'll be ready to go. He said, and when you talk to them like that, he said, then they will know that I am the Lord their God. In other words, what he's saying to Moses is, by the time you get through talking to them, they ought to want to talk to me. By the time you get through blessing them, they ought to want to bless me. By the time you get through lifting them, they're going to want to lift me. He said, but tell them I heard them the whole time. Look at your name and say, you better watch your mouth, because God hears every grumble and every groan. You think that God only hears your praise, he hears your pouting too. You better learn how to watch your mouth. Don't put your mouth on me. Tell him, neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't put your mouth on me. Don't put your mouth on my pastor. Don't put your mouth on my minister music. Don't put your mouth on my usher. Don't put your mouth on my choir. Don't put your mouth on my deacon. Don't put your, because God heard every word. That's why the Bible
Bible said, I can tell him all about my trouble. He'll hear my faintest cry because he's a responsive God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, they were right when they declared, if you call on the Lord, that the Lord will show up. So that's why I've decided it's time to go, young Mr. Pennell. I'm here to tell you now, I've decided that God is my God. I've decided that God has already done enough. I've decided that God has brought me further than I ever could have gone myself. I've decided to serve the Lord with gladness. I've decided to lift up my voice and give God the praise. I've decided that if I gotta stand by myself, I'll stand and declare that Jesus is Lord. He's my rock in my weary land. He's been my bridge over my troubled waters. Anybody ever had trouble? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I didn't come up the south way. I had to fight for everything I got. I had to fight in the morning, had to fight in the noonday, had to fight all night long. But neighbor, I've come to tell you that I've got some good news. I didn't fight by myself. I learned how to call on the Lord. He told me to hold my peace and let him fight my battles. He told me that he would be my shield and my buckler. He told me that he would make everything all right. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, please hear my testimony. God's been good to me. He brought me a mighty long way. He's been rich in mercy, rich in grace, and rich in love. And all that he asks is that we abide with him. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't mean to bother you, but I just need to ask you one question. What else does God have to do? I notice, neighbor, you're still sitting down. I notice you haven't lifted up your hands. All I need to know from you is what else must God do to get you to wave back at him? What else does God have to do to get you to shout his name? What else must God do? He's already done enough. He picked you up, turn you around. He made a way when there was no way. Am I right about it? Moses, come here one more time. Moses said, I told them about the goodness of the Lord, and we kept on marching. We kept picking them up and putting them down, and we noticed about the fourth year that our shoes didn't wear out. Our garments looked dry, clean, fresh. We kept on going because every round goes just a little bit higher. Every step I take and every move I make, to God be the glory. I just need to know one more time, what else does God have to do? Your children are doing all right. You got that little job. You drive your little hoopty. What else does God have to do? You got a roof over your head, a few nickels in your pocket. What else does God have to do? Your nails look good. You weave a little tight. What else does God have to do? I say, what else does God have to do? Well, I'm so glad to tell you, the Bible says, ask him again and he'll do more. Seek him again, you'll find more. Knock again, he'll open more. I said, what else does God have to do? Well, I made up my mind that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. I've come too far to not be faithful. And so it is today that I need one witness, maybe two or three, that can shout back at me that I made up my mind. God is my God. God is my God. God is. God is. God is. God is. Say yeah. Say yeah. I got my mind made up. My heart is fixed. I have decided to make Jesus my choice. And in light of your choice, can I ask one question? Can I ask one question? Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Let the redeemed of the Lord, whom the Lord hath redeemed with a mighty strong hand. Can you say yeah? Let the redeemed of the Lord, whom the Lord brought up and out of your wilderness, brought up and out of your pain, brought up and out of your sickness, brought up and out of your financial problems, brought up and out of your marriage troubles, brought up and brought out of your enemy's troubles. Say yeah. Look at a name, say neighbor, he did it again. He did it again. He did it again. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah.
I made my choice. God is my God. Can I get you to stand on your feet together? Can we close with a few series of testimonies? The pastor is not your God. God is your God. The deacons are not your God. God is your God. Your spouse is not your God. God is your God. Your children are not your God. Your job is not your God. Your money is not your God. Your good looks are not your God. Your popularity, only God is your God. And you've got to make it personal. I have decided to make Jesus my choice. I don't care what Stephanie do. She'd be a fool not to choose that I've chosen, but I'm not going to wait around for her to decide with me. I don't need no unanimous on this one. I'm not going to ask all those in favor. I've made my choice. I've decided. I can't decide for my children. I can't wait for my children to come of age and make that choice. I've decided. And I'll tell you in the words that Christ used to Judas, Lady D, he said, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Too many foot draggers in the church sitting around talking about, well, I'm going to wait till things get better. What if things don't ever get better? For some people, life is like that. For some people, it really doesn't ever seem to get better. Can I make it simple for you? How many of you have passed the same homeless man, a homeless woman, day in and day out? For them, it may never seem to get better. Nobody chooses homeless as an occupation. Nobody chooses to be unemployed. When things happen, it affects us. And God bless us in the church. Some of us are doing fine. You can't sit around and not give. Talking about, when I get me another job, then I'll be a tither. When I get me a car, then I'll start going to church regularly. All the friends you got that you can ride with, the TGI Fridays and Ruby Tuesdays and the Phase 2, they can't ride you off the church. If they don't want to go, tell them, just drop me off. Because once you drop me off, I can get a ride home. When things get better. You know how I learned to bless God? When my thing was bad. I really came back to church in the midst of the struggles I created. If I had stayed in the church like I did when I left home. When I left home in 1978 going into the military, my life was good. I was rent free. I had no bills. And I could have just about anything my daddy would grant me. I left home. Got to smell it myself. Thought I was a real somebody. And I brought about my own struggles. Because every time they said 90 days same as cash, I signed it. And when the 89th day came, I thought about it. when they sent me them little offers, pre-approved, I kept signing it, kept signing. I go in the store and they have them little credit card offers where they give you a free newspaper for signing up. I kept signing. And before you knew it, I was in debt past my elbows, ears, and nose. I started robbing Peter to pay Paul. Then I got to hanging out with the wrong people. Instead of going home to be with my family, I'm going up to the barracks and drink with the fellas. I'm sitting on picnic tables drinking beer and liquor, and my wife and children are home waiting for me. Because I'm cool, I'm Sarge. Everybody like old Sarge. Big Sarge, big Sarge. And I'm destroying my own life. Instead of going to church, I'm going to the club, because when I walk in the club, I'm like the guy on Cheers. Everybody say, Big Sarge! And I'm telling the barkeep around for my friends. I'm using my little club credit card, see? But I'm buying more rounds than I'm buying grocery. I told you a little testimony. I brought my troubles. But that's when I went back to God. I didn't tell God, well, Lord, when I straighten all this here mess out, I'll be back. I went in the midst of my mess. And you know what I like? He said, welcome home, boy. Good to see you again. Your seat is still waiting for you. God didn't take the gift of preaching from me. God didn't take discernment. God increased me. The man that's standing here telling you this truth now, I've been through it. But I didn't sit around waiting to get it right. I went back raggedy. Shame. And God told me, lift up your head. I was in Bible study, sitting in the back of the room, didn't want to say nothing, didn't want to be nothing. And God said, answer that question. They asked a question, Reverend, nobody could answer. God said, answer the question. And that was on a Wednesday. And that happened about 10 minutes into the class. The class went on another hour and a half. Guess who didn't stop talking for an hour and a half? I took over the man's class. I found myself walking to the front talking. And when I got to the front, the man said, no, go ahead. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. He said, no, go ahead. And this is what he said to me. It's obvious you're more gifted for this than I am. And guess what happened after that, Jasmine? Guess who was the Bible class leader every Wednesday thereafter? And guess who wound up standing in the chaplain's place? Because the Lord said, your gift will make room for you. And before I knew it, I was feeling myself again. I was his man. Still had bills, still had problems, still hanging out with the fellas a little bit, but by and by, like a small baby, he was weaning to me. And before I knew it, I didn't have much of a taste for the world. God changed me. Why? Because his word is too powerful to come back void. Some of you standing in this room, you got your head down. You're standing in that place of confusion and consternation. I'm telling you, there's a promise on your life. You're too beautiful not to have a promise. You're alive. If there's no promise, you're dead. Your greatest days are not behind you. And whatever mess you in, he won't leave you. He won't leave you. People going to walk in and out of your life. Let them. Don't be nobody doormat. But let them. And the closer you get to God, you're going to lose some friends, but you're going to gain some friends. And I'll tell you now, make him your choice. I got to let y'all go. We got to get ready to go. Can I ask you one question? You don't have to. I'm not trying to expose you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But can I ask you one question? Is there anybody in this room that has not made God your God? Don't play with me. Don't fool yourself. When I die, and I'm going to die, I'm going to leave here. It's just going to be me that stand before. I can't, you know, my family not going to be standing there. It's just going to be me. So ain't no need of me fooling myself. Ain't no need of you fooling you.
Is there anybody in this room that has not made God your God? I know the little kids may not have done that yet, but parents, that's on you. You got to work that now. So I'm not really talking to the little bitty ones just presently. I'm talking to folk who can speak for themselves. And if you're in this room today and you made God your God and you haven't been feeling real close to him lately, why don't you come on back? Come on back to him. It's called restoration. It's called reconciliation. Come on back to him. I'm going to tell you, it takes a big man, a big woman to admit that you have done wrong. I've done it. I was in the midst of my repentance prayer to God, and the Holy Spirit said, I heard you. That's enough. I was trying to be impressive and try to say a whole lot of speech to God, and God said, I heard you. That's enough. You know, I'm trying to be contrite. And God said, I heard you. Because there comes a time when you move from when it's really piety to performance. You move from when you're really sorry to when you're just trying to sound sorrier. God, you don't need no sympathy from God. He's already done enough of that stuff for you. But I do know this. You know, tell him you're sorry. And come on back home. Come on back to the bosom of the Lord. Come on back underneath that wing, in that place of safety, because he still loves you. My mama told me in 1979 that I can always come home. And I'll be darned if every time I go, I open that door, that woman grins from me, hey, baby, because that's home. And sometimes me and mama wasn't getting along so well. We had a difference of opinion. You know, we wasn't agreeing, but she let all things pass away. A little later on, she'll go and remind me. She said, well, you know, I was hot with you. But we all right now. And I wanted to say, I was hot with you too, but I never did. You do know you ain't never supposed to tell mama you was hot too. You're just supposed to say, yes, ma'am. God loves you today. If you've made God your God, you're in good standing. And that's good. But if you haven't done that, you need to reconcile to God. Y'all do that. Bible said, let your word be your bond. So whatever you're going to say today, even in your silence, you're saying something that the Holy Spirit can hear. As I told you earlier, God hears everything, the grumblings, the pouting, the complaining. He hears especially the praise. But if you're sitting in this room and you mumbling under your breath to God about this, that, and the other, he hears you. And I'll tell you now, the Holy Ghost just told me to tell you, your fight is not with me and your faith is not in me. It's in him. You'll have to give an account. So God bless you today. If you're not feeling well today, if you got sickness in your body or sickness in your family, you got somebody who asked you to pray for them, would you come on up here and let's whisper that together. People need your prayers. Come on, we're going to pray our way out today. We're getting ready to go over. I checked the box the other day. You got to let me pray for you. I'm honored to pray for you. I get a few requests. There you go. Thank you. People need your prayers. They want your prayers. I don't want you to leave here without being covered. Somebody in your family has got cancer, one of your friends, one of your neighbors, somebody in your family has been in a motor vehicle crash, somebody lost their job, somebody, their marriage is in a little bit of a troubled spot. That's the time when you can tell them, listen, I ain't never told nobody, but me and old Buckethead ain't always got along, but we fought our way through. And they need your testimonies. You can go tell them, say, listen, don't tell him I told you, but he ain't always been the best husband. Or she ain't always been the best wife. But somehow we made it. We muddled through. My wife and I have been married about 36 years or something like that. And I know I ain't been the easiest guy to get along with. There are times when I sent myself a letter of resignation. I was trying to figure out a way to leave me. I mean, you know, she hung in there. I don't know what she had invested. I don't know what she see in me. But I know this. She loves the Lord. Sometimes that's about all we had. We didn't have no money. We couldn't go nowhere. But we had the same God. I think that'll help you if you got the same God. And some people gave her advice. I can't tell you how many folk in my own family say, girl, you ought to leave him. I know folk in my family that would try to turn on me, and that's all right. You know, some of my cousins who told her to leave me because they want the fair exchange, you know, they thought if she left me, they could have her. But she saw through it. She said, oh, no, uh-uh. And sometime other women say, girl, leave him, because you know what you throw away is trash be picked up for treasure. And she said, no, your motives don't seem clear. Even with my family, my children have not always been happy with me. They don't agree with me. And that's all right, but we got the same God. And sometimes the best help you can give somebody is honest help. So when people are dealing with their children and dealing with their marriage or their finances, I don't know why we try to act like we always had so much money. Some of us know what it's like to be poor and broke. Past due notice. I like the people ain't never called your house. Make me check your caller ID. I see them 888 numbers. Ain't none of your friends got no 888 numbers. We all thank God for caller ID and call screening and that do not call list. Boy, if that thing had only worked like they said it would, we'd be in good shape. But tell people, I've struggled financially. You know that car I told you I sold? Charlie repossessed that thing. But I thank God they came and got it. I wanted him to do a settlement with them, but now I'm better off. Because that old hoop that I got out there ain't got no payments on it. You know, that kind of thing. Or your children. You know, people, you dress them up and make them look all neat. Look at no fella, they neat and clean. But you tell folk who's struggling with their children, say, look here, them jokers give me a fit. But I just tell their daddy. And their daddy take care of me. They ain't the best kids, but they my kids. You know, that's testimony. And people can get stronger when you tell them the truth. Pastor told me one time, said, that's why we dress up to go to church. Because the person that we ought to be bringing, we can't bring them out. Because if that other you ever showed up, folk would be like, Lord, have mercy. And you won't look at them, yeah, it's mean, that's right. But thanks be unto God, you're all right, you're getting better. So in your family, don't be ashamed of your husband, your wife, your children. You overcome by your testimonies. And can't nobody tell it like you can tell it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. See, when you make requests known, God has a way. And that's when you get your praise and you're shouting because you say, ooh, I had talked to God about this and look what God did. Don't leave it to chance. Tell him. And then every day go to your mailbox expecting to receive a personal reply from the Lord. Not your physical mailbox, your spiritual mailbox. Because when I send something to God, I'm waiting on something to come back. And I know my God is able. That's a shout all by itself. He's able. Squeeze your neighbor's hand and tell him, baby, whatever it is, honey, whatever you're going through, he's able. That's it. That's it right there. He's able. Ain't no such thing as he might. No, he's able. You know what I like about his ableness? His willingness goes along with it. He wants to do it. He said, I know how I want to bless you. And I hear the Holy Ghost saying, let me do it. I see God trying to tag in like old wrestler on TV trying to tag in. God said, let me get it. Let me fight that battle for you. Let me fight that cancer for you. Let me fight that marriage issue. Get out the way. Let me do it. Let me get in there. He said, I specialize. Amen. Somebody's hand you're holding. They got more secrets than they got revelation. They can't tell you everything. So squeeze it a little bit and say, this is for the stuff you can't tell, man. This is for what you don't want the church to know. This is for what your children don't know. This is for what your husband don't know. I'm telling you that the God who loves you is a fixer. He's a fixer. He's a fixer. He'll fix it. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, all around this room. Look at your children. They're standing. They're holding hands with people, some of whom they're very familiar with, some of whom they've never had a conversation with. But we are touching and agreeing that you've got the power. You brought a son back from foreign territory. You kept a marriage together. You let a mother worship with a son. You let a daughter stand with a father. You took cancer and put it in remission, or removed it altogether. You took a blood pressure issue and brought it under control. You told arthritis that we gonna woo you out the way today. You told HIV that you ain't nothing but three letters together, but I'm three letters to G-O-D, God. And my three trump your three any day of the week. I'm God. You're limited, I'm unlimited. You told unemployment that I'm going to fill out the application and wait on the Lord. They're touching and they're agreeing that you've got the power. And so, God, for every condition, both public and private, your will be done. We're going to turn from this place, but not your presence today. Your will be done. For my neighbor, the stranger, the friend, your will be done. That we lose not another son or daughter to criminal activity and foolishness, your will be done. That no family go to bed hungry, no child go to bed hungry, no child doesn't have a book and a book bag and pencils and paper and ready for school, your will be done. That no church would die, your will be done. That none of your strong warriors would quit in the midst of a battle, your will be done. And that we can have all that we could ask, think, or imagine, your will be done. In the name of Jesus. Be encouraged, people of God. Your best days have not passed you by. There are promises that you are still in line for. You've just got to keep pressing. He loves you too much to leave you now. Now, God, turn us from this place called Greater Brookville until we're able to come together again. Thank you, Lord, for our guest today, Brother Marcus, and for Brother James, and for so many others. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of fellowship. Now, God, we pray, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, kiss somebody on the face, get a little makeup on them, and we pray, God, to see you again real soon. God loves you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, young fella.